When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Play fake. Jones rolls left, throws left. Wide open for the touchdown is Bellinger.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. Let's ride. Drive safely wherever you are. Shout out to you if you're at home safely already. Keith McPherson on The Fan. KM to AM, we call this. And we've got 2 hours left to talk sports. And I got to bring something to the table that we haven't spoken on yet, as we are days away from NFL training camps opening, inside training camp live, and everybody talking about new faces and new places and expectations and rankings and who is who and what is what and speculation on this 2024 NFL season. The NFL is king, and don't you forget it. I saw a list come out today where I'm like, I know what they're trying to do here, and I get it. The NFL executives, coaches, and scouts put out this list, so, I mean, take their word for it and their votes for it. It's the top 10 quarterbacks. I feel like I did a stream like this coming out of last year. I do some streams for the Bleacher Report app, a great little side hustle for me, and something I was always on the vision board, work for Bleacher Report. I feel like I got to go back to my notes and see my top 10 if I even have the notes still. But here's the top 10 NFL quarterbacks going into 2024, according to NFL executives, coaches, and scouts. At number one, there's no debate. There's no question. There's nobody arguing this. It's Patrick Mahomes. This guy's got 3 rings on his finger. His 3rd baby on the way. And he's looking to three-peat. Pete Alonso couldn't get it done. I'd bet my money that Patrick Mahomes can get it done with Andy Reid and company. Number 2 is where I'm kind of like, yo, wait. Number 2 is Joe Burrow. Now, I get it. He's the highest paid player in the league. I get it. A couple years ago, he went to the Super Bowl and lost. And don't get me wrong. Joe Burrow is Joe Thorough, Joe Shiesty, Joe Cool. He's like that. Like, out of all the quarterbacks that I watch in the NFL, I watch this guy play, and I'm like, this guy's he's ice in his veins. He can stand in there. He can throw it with the best of them. But he was hurt last year. And they got it done with Jake Brown. They got it done without him. He's got a lot to prove this year. He himself said, when you don't play football, people forget about you. And that, you know, he's going to remind people this year. So Joe Burrow could not in any way, shape, or form, in my estimation, be the number 2 quarterback in the NFL after not playing last year. Josh Allen comes in at number 3, Josh Allen is good at basketball. I saw him playing golf over the weekend. He's good at golf. He was shooting the basketball at the basketball hoop, shooting threes on the. This guy's just a freak athlete and a monster at quarterback. And it's on his shoulders this year. I think the Bills take a step back. They lost a few pieces, and they're really looking at Josh Allen like, hey, it's on you, bro. Josh Allen is a turnover machine. Why do we always forget that? Why do we forget that he leads the league in turnovers the last 6 years? Why do we always omit that? Because we like that he stiff arms linebackers and will run through a safety. He can also throw the ball. I'll give him that in the red zone. You're not stopping him. In the red zone, if they get in the red zone, they're going to score with Josh Allen, whether he's throwing it or running it. But now he doesn't have Gabe Davis. Now he doesn't have Steph Diggs. Now there's a bunch of different wide receivers that got to get on the same page with him. And sometimes he's not on the same. I don't know. I can understand Josh Allen at number 3. That's fine. But here's where my issue comes in. 2-time MVP, the current reigning MVP of the league, Lamar Jackson is 4. They just don't want to give Lamar his respect. And I guess he'll have to get it this year with King Henry in the backfield. They're going to be a problem. The Ravens already were a problem. And their problem was that they abandoned the run in the playoffs, and they ran into a very motivated Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and we had that whole thing with Justin Tucker and that nonsense that went on before the game. They poked the bear, and you know what? The Chiefs came out, lit them up, and that's all they had to do was get up on them early, and then doubt set in, and they abandoned the run, and then you had Zay Flowers losing the game. I mean, Lamar Jackson is one of the best players in the NFL. He is arguably the best player in the NFL outside of Patrick Mahomes. He's a 2-time MVP at a young age. You're going to put Joe Burrow ahead of him because Joe Burrow went to the Super Bowl a few years ago and Lamar hasn't gotten to a Super Bowl? You're going to put Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson? Josh Allen hasn't won an MVP. He's been a favorite to win the MVP. And what has he done in the playoffs? Number five? Come on. I know his wife goes viral for her podcast and makes them even more seen. But Matthew Stafford is the number five quarterback in this NFL right now? Okay. I'll accept it because he does have a Super Bowl ring. And that's just a measurement that you got to use. Who's won in this NFL? Ain't that many guys. There's a lot of young guys. Matthew Stafford is actually older than we realize. Matthew Stafford's my class. I remember looking at some magazine where I was ranked in like a top 200 quarterbacks in the country, and he was number one coming out of Dallas. I mean, this guy, I don't know if he's the fifth best quarterback in the league, but I'm taking nothing away from him. His arm talent, the way he sees the field, and the fact that he's got Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams in the backfield, and they drafted the kid out of Michigan. They're going to be a problem. They're going to be good, but I don't know if Matthew Stafford is number five. We'll get to the guy that I would have had top five. Next up, number six is Justin Herbert from the Chargers. There's a lot of hype, and there's always been a lot of hype around Justin Herbert, but like he leaves much to be desired for me. He's also a guy that was hurt last year. I don't know exactly what they're going off of. They're going off of his stature. They're going off of potential, not what he's actually done. What has Justin Herbert done in this NFL? Number seven is a guy that I guess they don't want to put him top five because he's only coming off his rookie year. They want to see if he can do it again. But for me, C.J. Stroud is already there. C.J. Stroud is like that. Like C.J. Stroud in the playoffs against the Browns. I'm like, okay, this kid is not phased. He's wise beyond his years. This guy is here. He's arrived. Aaron Rodgers, some of you might not think, should be where he is, but he's behind C.J. Stroud at eight. And I think that's fair. I think you can't put Aaron Rodgers outside of the top 10 quarterbacks. He does have a ring. He does have multiple MVPs. But what have you done for us lately? Your last season with the Packers, shaky, didn't make the playoffs, and you only played four plays, and we're starting to believe you're more about politics, you're more about conspiracy theories, you're more about ayahuasca, you're more about clicks and just having your name in the media and popping up at UFC fights, Broadway events, Ranger games, Knick games. We got to see it on the field. We got to see it on the field. Aaron Rodgers comes in at the number eight spot for top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. At number nine, a guy that got paid, a guy that when you watch the NFL draft open up, they chanted his name in Detroit. Jared Goff. Jared Goff. He's a number one overall pick. He's been to a Super Bowl, was this close to going to his second Super Bowl. And when I look at the NFC, I don't see too many teams in the NFC that I think have a better roster or a better chance to get to a Super Bowl. Obviously, the Niners will be there again. The Eagles look stacked. I'm looking at the Lions and Jared Goff. Like, if they don't come out looking for revenge from last year and get back to the NFC Championship, eventually maybe the Super Bowl, like, it's this year for them. And Jared Goff, he deserves to be in the conversation. I remember last year putting out a tweet after the first game of the season when Jared Goff went into Arrowhead and beat the reigning champs, the Kansas City Chiefs. I said, is Jared Goff better than Daniel Jones? And people actually were disagreeing. People were actually mad about that. People were Daniel Jones is better than Jared Goff. No, he's not. Never was. No shot. And number 10, I got a real problem with this one. And not because I have faith in the guy, but it's like, man, what does this guy got to do to get his respect? I know what he's got to do to get his respect. He's got to win when it matters. He's got to win when it counts. But man, he's carrying a heavy burden of that star and Jerry Jones and Jerry Jones' entire family and legacy and the curse that is the Dallas Cowboys on his back. At number 10, it's Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is better than that. Dak Prescott was in the MVP conversation. Dak Prescott to me is a top eight, maybe even five quarterback in this NFL. But they're not going to give you that. They're not. Because of what he did against the Packers in that one and done, what he's done year after year in the playoffs, and going back 2 years, people don't forget that he missed four games and led the league in interceptions. Dak Prescott still out for his respect. Well, you know what? Jerry Jones has fumbled his contract completely. A fourth round draft pick should have cost you nothing at this point. Should have cost you nothing, Jerry Jones. You should have so much flexibility with your roster, but you never believed in Dak Prescott yourself. Dak Prescott is going to be a $60 million man a year after this year. He doesn't have to sign anything. They can come to him with an extension. He can play this year out. When he hits free agency, he's getting more money than Kirk Cousins. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We're talking NFL football. Now that I've put out the top 10 quarterbacks, just go look it up. It's everywhere. Tell me who they left out. Was somebody snubbed? Daniel Jones snubbed? Jalen Hurts snubbed? I don't know who else they could really say snub. Zach Wilson? And definitely taking your calls on the Jets and the Giants as training camp opens up later this week. I'll still take all the Yankees calls. We need a break from that. We definitely need a break from that. And I want to talk about the Mets, their upcoming schedule. And I'm watching this home run derby, and it's a flop. It's a flop. I'm glad I'm sitting right here in New York instead of sitting in one of those random seats somewhere in Arlington. Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM to AM. Let's get back to the phone. Frank is in Bloomfield, New Jersey. Thanks for holding, Frank. You got it.
You got it, Keith. Thanks for having me on the phone, man. How's everything? Did you get that drink that night before you went home when it was, or did you go home and just hang out with the cat?
I went home. I had a Friday beer. Shout out to my guys at Friday Beers. I'm stocked on those. I had one beer, and then actually, like, the sleep hit me. I ended up just getting in bed and going to sleep. It was a rainy night. The rain makes you want to get in bed. Yeah, I didn't party it up that night.
Yeah, I got you, man. I did the same thing. So I wanted to talk to you about the Knicks and the Yankees, but also it's an endeavor for young entrepreneurs for kids. And the kid that I know, his father was my mentor and a teacher when I was going to a program when I was younger. His son plays baseball. Now, they was on a Good Morning America show where Strahan, you know, was talking to them, had them on there. His name is Kevon Chisholm. But before I get into that, I want to talk to you about the Yankees. Dude, what a belly flop, man. I was listening to the game because I start work at certain times of the day. I work for myself. But hearing Verdugo and Volpe both flopping them balls, I was like, yo, what is this, Major League Baseball again? Like, I know it's MLB, but I'm talking about the movie. You got Roger Dorn, you know, screwing up the catch at shortstop and second base. I'm like,
funny enough, I said to my wife, I wasn't listening to the game. I was like, oh, I could only imagine how Susan sounded on the broadcast watching that. That's baseball Susan, but that's not Susan's brand of baseball.
No, it was hilarious because she was like even talking like, hey, why this guy, he's floating left field. Like, how does that happen? How do you trip in left field and not be able to catch that ball because you misread it?
Not locked in, that not ready to play, not thinking that ball's coming your way and how to play it and what to do, abandoning what you've been taught. I don't know what that was. He's been terrible lately.
He has, and it's been like not even like lately. It's been like almost a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was during this whole stretch. But then he's
one of the main culprits during this whole stretch.
Exactly. And then, you know, Volpe, I don't know what happened. I didn't really see what happened on the camera, but, you know, like on screen, because like I said, I was working. But what did he do? I mean, how do you flip a ball and bobble it? And then you got bases like on first and
froze.
Second. And then you got
stuck.
Starstruck. Yep.
Just like that's panicked. What happened. Thinking too much about it. Brain fart got the best of his body. It just looked like he had a malfunction.
Right. Now, I do got a song for that. I have a theme song, and you're going to laugh if I say this. You know Jelly Roll, right?
I do know Jelly Roll.
Okay, his song, Somebody Save Me. That should be the Yankees theme song for the rest of the year. But as far as the Knicks go, I heard there's been some mock trades, man. They've been talking about Julius Randle, McBride, and Robinson for Carl Anthony Towns, and I think it was like one other player. And I'm like, what's going on here? And I called a few weeks ago, and I was talking to Tiki and the rest of those guys on there, Evan and Loogie, you know. I asked Tiki, I said, do you think OG was really worth this $213 million? He goes, well, yeah, he figured it's his last shot. Why not take it?
Yeah, and what you gave up, that's the whole thing. You can't give up what you gave up to Toronto and not re-sign that guy.
Exactly. But see, what I was thinking now, and this is what I was trying to get to the point about when I was talking to them at that time, was that the way Jalen Brunson went about it, and I commend him, I give him my utmost respect, because I love basketball and I love baseball and football, but this guy, he said, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice for the team.
And
he gave up that 100.
And I don't expect anyone else to.
Nobody. Nope, you're never going to see it. You're not going to see it. And if you do, it'll be a miracle, and that's going to happen sooner or later down in the future. But having them, and now you got Cameron Payne, which they just signed, I'm not too sure about the guy.
He's a bench player. You're not going to see much of him.
Right. No, definitely not. But, I'm hoping that, they do something to get Kessler. I don't know what they can trade for him.
Walker Kessler out of Utah. I think Utah deaded that conversation. There was some rumors on it, but I think whatever the Knicks were selling, Utah wasn't buying. I got to go back to my notes.
Utah wanted 2 first-round picks.
Okay. And they gave the Brooklyn Nets their picks. So how many more of those picks do they have to move for a center?
Well, that's true. Yeah. They actually wanted to trade for Lauri Markkanen at one point.
Yeah, his name's a hot name out there.
Yeah, and he averages like 22, 24 points a game almost, the guy?
I'm not sure.
And he's young. And then you got Jalen Duren from Detroit. This guy, he averages 24 points. And he's 21 years old. So imagine having a younger center who was a rookie when he started last year? How long has he been in the league for? I don't even know.
I don't know either. I just feel like we're getting in the weeds on that conversation. Thanks for the call, Frank. That was a lot. I'm just trying to bring it back in. I think the Knicks are fine with who they have. Karl-Anthony Towns is getting greedy. And I don't think you need another guy who needs the ball in his hands. I don't think you need another guy to, all right, I understand he's from Metuchen or he's from the area. I forget where he played, St. Anthony's or something like that. He's a Jersey guy, but I don't think that they need Karl-Anthony Towns. And I don't think that Minnesota's looking to break that up. Karl-Anthony Towns, he went to St. Joseph. I don't think that Ant-Man, Rudy Gobert, and Karl-Anthony Towns are done yet. I think that they want to get to the finals with that group, and they possibly could. The center position, I don't think, is that much of a concern. I think Mitchell Robinson belongs with the Knicks and is back, and we'll see who they get as another option. But you can find those guys. I don't think losing Ihart was a big deal. I like that Paul Rosenberg came on Saturday and called out Isaiah Hartenstein. Said, well, Jalen Brunson took less money. And he's the face of the franchise. And honestly, the first contract that the Knicks got him with was a steal. So he's been taking less and less. But obviously, he gets to play on the same team as his college buddies and his dad as a coach. So whatever. But Isaiah Hartenstein was like, nah, I need every dollar. I'm not taking what you guys can offer me. I'll go play for OKC, maximize this bag, get another bag, and play on a number one seed. 888-808-1019. Yeah, with the Yankees, man, somebody save me. We got to queue up that Jelly Roll track. Maybe we can get the edited version off of YouTube. Why do the Yankees need saving? The almighty Yankees? The best team in baseball? The first team to 50 wins, were they? With Aaron Judge and Juan Soto in the All-Star game? How you have Aaron Judge and Juan Soto on the same team, you need saving. Because you can't skimp on the rest of the guys. And you can't let the rest of the guys keep going through the motions. And I know everybody wants to talk about, what Boone does in the clubhouse is different than what he tells the media. It doesn't look like it when guys go out there and they're not ready to play. They're not ready to make plays. I know I only played a little bit of baseball. I stopped playing baseball at 13. But man, if the game is on the line and I'm in that field and I see Volpe give away an out and they score a run, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to say, yo, I hope the ball comes to me. I hope I have the chance to make the next out. I'm not going to mess up this opportunity to end the series, sweep the O's, and go into the All-Star break in first place. That's like the last out of the ALDS, ALCS World Series. That's my whole take. That's my whole thought. You guys want this to be a World Series team? They need some improvements. They need an identity change.
They had it. That's as high stakes as you can get right there. That's as finite as you can get right there. The last game of the first half where you can sweep a team. You haven't been able to win a series in a month. You can sweep a team in your division that's above you and take their spot in first place. You couldn't clutch up in that moment. I don't believe you can clutch up then. I believe there's too many holes. I believe ball will find you. I believe men make plans and the baseball gods laugh. 888-808-1019. So, yeah, we're talking Knicks as well as Yankees. I did want to bring the Mets into the conversation. I'll do that, but we got to get back to the calls about the Jets and about the NFL now. Let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How you doing, my brother?
I'm good. I'm watching this home run derby, and I'm like, man, I should have bet the bag on Alex Bohm. Did he just advance?
No, he's out.
Okay, so he didn't. He lost to Teoscar. Okay, Teoscar advances.
It's Teoscar versus
He had good odds too. You got it, Ray. Go for it.
I'm disappointed in Pete. I'm a Mets fan. I called you because you're always trolling on my teams. You know
which one?
You're always trolling on the Jets. You're always trolling on the Mets. And I just want to explain something. You know, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. He's always going to be Aaron Rodgers. He's always got to have a tension light on him. As long as he's an above average quarterback, and Breece Hall, somebody stole my thunder with that. Breece Hall is the main ingredient to this year, you know. And another ingredient is health. As long as we stay healthy, we're going to make it far and deep.
Yeah, I'm not trolling when I just say, like, Aaron Rodgers got to be healthy. Like, that's facts. He hurt his thumb 2 years ago. He tore his Achilles. He's coming back from an Achilles injury. Like, this is live football. People forget because everybody loves football. Like, they're coming to take your head off. These guys are allowed to hit you. Mm-hmm. Like, Aaron Rodgers is 40. He was 1 foot out the door when he took that darkness retreat. Like, I'm very interested to see what he is. I like watching football. I hope he's Aaron Rodgers of the past. That's fun. I can get to MetLife Stadium in 20 minutes from my crib. I will pull up to see it live. I'm not trolling. I'm just saying the facts are we can't put the Jets in the Super Bowl until we see this guy quarterback the offense. We saw it for four plays.
I think the Jets are going to go further than your team, though, Dallas. Because as long as it's
bet the under on Dallas wins, the Dallas isn't winning anything. CeeDee Lamb's not pulling up till he gets a new contract. Micah Parsons wants a new contract. They actually are paying Ezekiel Elliott. They brought Ezekiel Elliott back after giving him a $90 million contract. So they're paying him what they're paying him this year and the dead cap money from that contract. Jerry Jones is a fool.
Jerry Jones, he's messing everything up. It really does. My other point was, I just want to tell you the difference between a Yankee fan and a Met fan.
There's plenty. You know? Go on. I'll add some.
The Met fan is just a little. The Mets fans just like to have fun. I know people are making fun of Grimace, and they were making fun of OMG and everything. But right now, in order for fans to come back or to get the kids to be interested, things have to be fun. Not so anal like the Yankee fans. The Yankee fans are just so anal about everything. You know, they're not even happy when they're winning.
Well,
you know, I'm surrounded by Yankee fans all over the place.
We're used to winning. Thanks for the call, Ray. We're used to winning. Our standard of excellence isn't Grimace, oh my God, Glizzy is like, we don't care about Seymour Wiener. We don't care about like some of that other stuff. But that is cool. If you didn't hear me the last couple weeks, I'm like, all of a sudden the Mets are cool. That's a cool ass light show. They could turn their ballpark into a club, have an oh my God concert. That's cool. Instead of the Mets being lame and losers, there's a lot of cool themes. Grimace to me is a cool thing. It is a cosmic higher power that the baseball gods planted on these Mets. This doofy purple mascot from McDonald's is going to throw out a first pitch, and the Mets are going to go on a magical run. And yeah, it makes kids pay attention because that's like having Barney as a mascot. You already have Mr. Met, Mrs. Met. Then you get Barney to come through. Yeah, so the kids are like, okay, I'll watch the Met game because SNY, they're going to show you every Grimace stuffed animal and costume in the crowd. Good job. Good job. Oh, my God, is actually incredible. I remember I jokingly got on the Fan and said, can you imagine after the Giants beat the Packers on Monday Night Football, the loudspeaker said, fans, stay seated after the game for a performance by Darren Waller. And Darren Waller comes out rapping and performing. So we'd be like, yo. And the lights are flickering in MetLife like something you never, a concert turned into a Taylor Swift concert over there. all athletes want to be entertainers, and entertainers want to be athletes. Jose Iglesias is living both of those dreams simultaneously at the end of his baseball career. He's got a number one hit, and he's putting together a lot of hits on the field. You can't make it up. What a movie this year has been for that guy. That is cool. There's nothing to troll or make fun of with that. Glizzy Izzy? I don't know. The whole Glizzy Izzy thing for me, I don't know. I never had a dog. They never going to do Bark in the Park at Yankee Stadium. I guess it's cool. Hot dog eating dog. Hot dog eating dog. A dog eating dogs. Glizzy Izzy? Sure. Whatever, bro. The main thing is the Mets have a lineup of hitters. The Mets are holding each other accountable. They are putting in the work. They are putting pressure on their front office to make moves, and they are. Their front office hasn't just sat back and watched the car crash. They've gone out and said, all right, we have a standard here. Jorge Lopez, you're gone. If you don't perform well, you're gone. We'll call guys up. We'll send guys down. We'll bring guys in. We'll make trades. We want to keep adding to this team to figure out this bullpen. I can commend that. 888-808-1019. When we come back, I want to look at the Mets schedule coming out of this All-Star break. The All-Star break can be good and bad, right? You could be hot going into the All-Star break. A few days away, you forget who you are, you cool off, and then you have a bad start. I don't think that the Mets are going to have a bad start, but they are going to have some challenges. And same thing for the Yankees. So when we come back, we'll look at the second half schedule a little bit. And here's the finale for the Home Run Derby right here. If you're not tuned in, tune in now. Yo, this Let's Get Ready to Rumble guy, what's his name? I forget his name. Shout out to him. We always get emails about
Michael
him.
Michael Buffer.
Michael Buffer. He's never going out of style. He's never going out of business. I don't even think I'm allowed to perform his line on WFAN because word will get back to him and he'll sue us. And that'll be it. I might not have my next 3 5-hour KM to AMs if I just utter those famous words. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Still here. Shout out to you if you've been rocking for the last 4 hours and change. Or if you just tuned in, Keith McPherson on the Fan, going till midnight. Another 5 hour KM to AM on the Fan. And yeah, I'm glad, man. This Home Run Derby has been whack. Like super mid, lame. Not enough homers. Not enough homers. The whole thing is you go there to watch dingers be hit. You go there to catch home run balls. People have left. You can tell. People have left the upper decks and moved down because at this point now, people don't care. I don't know. It's mid. I've been to the last three. People are already going to the party, bro. It's central time out there. They're dipping off. They're going to the hotel. They're changing up and they're sending texts. Yo, where's it at? Where's it at? Who's got the party tonight? Whose party are you going tonight? Yo, I'll see you in a minute. This Home Run Derby, lame. Like, as you're watching the ball fly out, you see the upper decks. When it first started, they were full. Now they're not full. And I don't know. Just sharing my experience, sharing what I know. And my experience and what I know is there are two halves of baseball, and baseball is a marathon. It is a long grind. But also, I know that your roster is your roster after that trade deadline. You'll have some September call-ups, but basically the guys that you have, those are the guys you're riding with. Those are the guys you're going to war with as you try to improve your position going into October in the postseason. The team is the team. So what I wanted to do was take a look at the Mets team, which, hey, I know. I mean, at 49 wins, like the Mets shouldn't even be that close to the Yankees in wins when you think about where they were, where the Yankees were. And that's why the vibe around the Mets is completely different. Hey, better than we expected. 500. Four games over 500, three games over. Better than we expected. And when you look at their games coming up, why can't they have a hot start? Soft landing spot going to Miami. It'll be warm down there. You got a 4-game set with the Fish. Sweep those bums. It can happen. And then, if the Yankees don't figure it out, you already whooped their ass. There's a chance that you can take one game, and that means you've got the season series on the Yankees, bragging rights, which hasn't happened in the last couple years. Or you could take both games and completely blank the Yankees this season. And more, I'm feeling like that's what's going to happen. And that wouldn't be good. That wouldn't be good for the Yankee fan. There's nothing you can say after that. There's nothing you can say about that. I mean, unless the Yankees go on to win the World Series, even if they get further than the Mets and the Mets fail, like the fact that if the Mets sweep the Yankees, if they come to the Bronx and take those two games, it's not going to be sweet over there. But that will get them ready for the Braves. So, you know, you'll have to face the Yankees lineup. We'll see how the pitching lines up, who you're going to face from the Yankees rotation. But then you have a crucial set. And you don't have to go too far from the Bronx back to Queens for this 4-game set against the Atlanta Braves, who are a wild card team. The Atlanta Braves, who have owned you, who have haunted you. It's time for some get back. Mets fans got to be showing up for that. I heard Evan talking about, oh, you know, fans only show up if you bribe them. Well, yeah, that's a part of the deal. And it's not like the Yankees, who are going to draw 37,000 on a Tuesday night with no giveaway. You have to have a bobblehead, a Brandon Nimmo bobblehead, a bucket hat attached to it. And you got to win. And if the Mets sweep the Marlins, sweep the Yankees, or just win 3 out of 4 against the Marlins and take one of the 2 games against the Yankees, I guarantee you a late June set or a late July set, against the Braves, they're gonna be fans there showing up for that. Because there are a lot of fans that want that get back. There are a lot of fans that want to see this lineup, this pitching staff, go up against the Braves and shut them down. 888-808-1019. So that's as far as we'll go into the second half of the season, because it'll be here before you know and we'll be able to talk about it. On the converse, your New York Yankees have the Tampa Bay Rays coming to town. The Tampa Bay Rays are too comfortable in the Bronx, if you ask me, over the years. They're just hanging out. They're not afraid of Yankee fans. They're damn sure not afraid of the Yankees. They come to Yankee Stadium ready to put on a show and silence the fans. And they just beat the Yankees in Tampa in front of Hal Steinbrenner, in front of Brian Cashman. They're fighting for their lives, fighting for their season before the deadline, hoping that they can make a push somehow. They'll be ready to play if the Yankees aren't ready to play coming out of the All-Star break. That's a 4-game set in the Bronx. Starts this Friday. And Yankee fans are going to show up. That's what we do. We pull up to the ballpark for that team, to root for that team, but we also pull up to that ballpark for each other. We hang out. This is a great spot to kick it at. You hear Loogie talking about the bars. I don't know too many people that know the bars out there better than me. You know, from stands to the dugout to obviously Billy's, where you can find me every single time, to the draft house back over there if y'all ever pop in back there. Yankee Tavern. Shout out to my people at Yankee Tavern. Juan Spot. Shout out to Dory and Juan. Like, I've spent just as many hours outside at those bars as I spent in the stadium. We will be there is what I'm saying. And we'll be ready to go. It's a summer Friday in New York. Will the Yankees show up? Because there's been plenty of Fridays where I show up and link with the gang and we're putting together parlays and then we go watch the Yankees not show up and lay an egg on the first Friday back. I've seen it too many times. You better show up. Put your best foot forward and be ready to face the Tampa Bay Rays, because you've been terrible in the American League East so far to start this season, and then step right up and meet the Mets. These Mets fans are coming over to crush the building. They've seen the Dodgers fans take over the building. They've seen Braves fans come into our building. They've seen Orioles fans come. You think Mets fans who can just take the train to the Bronx aren't showing up in their blue and orange with this team that they have? Absolutely. Absolutely. So get ready for that. That's why they put the Subway Series on Tuesday and Wednesday. It'd be too crazy on the weekend. They haven't done that in like 3 years. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's take a call or two before we go to the 11 o'clock break. Coming up next, my Casamigos big shot of the night. Right now, it goes to David in Millburn, New Jersey. David, are you ready for us? You're on the Fan.
Are you ready for it? I've listened to you, Keith, for a long time. You fired me up today.
in a good way.
Okay, thanks.
First of all, you talk about your brother and the love that you have for your brother and the love you express all ties into the passion you talk about these teams that we're looking for. So first of all, in an upside-down world, the love that you exhibit for your brother is admirable. The first time I ever called in because I love listening to you, and I love that you have that passion for him.
Thank you.
Segueing to the teams, what we want in New York is love and passion to win and excel. And the Knicks brought that, and the Knicks have that. They're bringing players that are giving their all, and that's what the fans want. I'm a diehard Yankee fan like you are as well. The pain is immense. The pain is immense. When it's the same thing, Keith, when Gary Sanchez was on this team. There are certain players that are on a team that you cannot win a championship with. We've got three of them. We've got LeMayu. We've got Glaber. And we've got Rodon. They're disasters.
Mm-hmm.
And until you make some changes, and like you said, build it back up, because it's 162 games, like you said. That's why everybody's watching the Mets now. Iglesias is like this new miracle all of a sudden, resurrecting his career at the end. I think you're spot on right with just the desire to win and the love of the game, and that's what we need to see out of our teams, and that's what we're missing with the Yankees.
Thanks for the call, David. Yeah. You know, it's funny, man. Like, I mentioned my brother, and I went and looked it up. I was like, my brother passed October 10th, 2015. They didn't pronounce him dead until I went to the police station to report him missing, knowing in my heart of hearts that he wasn't alive because he wasn't answering my texts. They didn't pronounce him dead until that Monday when I went to MTV and I went into our morning meeting and I said, I have to leave. Why do you have to leave? I said, my brother's been missing for 48 hours. I know he's gone. I need to go to the police precinct by his job. That's the last place he was. I think something happened to him. So I went, walked down. And, you know, that was the Monday after the Yankees had lost that Tuesday, October 6, 2015, in the American League wildcard game. And I went to that game with my dad, with my brother, with my boy Joey. My brother didn't want to go. My brother wasn't down for that later in his life. But I went with my dad. I went with my boy Joey D. I went with my friend AJ. And we sat in 204. 203 was too expensive. And I always tell the story about me catching Colby Rasmus' home run and throwing it back over Carlos Beltran's head. I felt some energy that night. What are the chances? You know, I get this ball. Throw it back. I did. But I tell this story because that night I didn't get home until late. I don't know what time it was by the time I got back and went to bed. And I was the one with the car. We lived in Neptune up the hill in Monmouth County, exit 100. And we would take the bus from exit 109 in Red Bank to the city every morning. My brother, my sister, and I commuting into New York, trying to hustle, trying to grind, trying to make it from the Jersey Shore area. And I was the only one with a car. So it was on me every morning to get up and take us. Now, I went to sleep late, and I had a little bit of alk in my system. But I wasn't ducking my responsibility, and I was definitely going to work. I didn't call out of work. But I didn't get up early enough for my brother. And I remember him being upset and the text that he sent me, and he said something along the lines of like, you being irresponsible and like you care more about the Yankees than you care about us. Like, Ma's taking me to the bus. I need to go into work. And I was just like, well, damn, like I was going into work too. I just wasn't catching the earliest bus, and I was going to just wake up, brush my teeth. Like, I had showered, then I was just going to wake up, brush my teeth, throw my book bag on, and we were out of there. And I remember how upset he was. And I was like, you know, you got to think more highly of me, bro. Like, I'm not that irresponsible, and I don't care about the Yankees like that. Like, and then for him, you know, to pass days after, that Friday was the last day that I saw my brother. Same thing. We went to get on the bus, go to Port Authority, and that morning it was raining. And I remember my brother used to mess with my sister, and I'm always my sister's protector. And I just remember pushing him, like, two arms, like I was trying to block him on a football field. And just saying, leave her alone. And when I pushed him, it kind of knocked him off his axis a little bit. And then when he gathered himself, he realized he left his umbrella on the bus. We went ahead. He went back to grab his umbrella, and I never saw him again. But that night, you know, I was saying, hey, man, I know we were supposed to get on the bus. We used to take the same bus home together. and I was texting him, and I was working at MTV. I was trying to grind and make my way up there, and he, you know, being 10 years older than me and always being like a father figure and an elder statesman and mature, he's like, stay there as long as they want you to stay there. Work your way up in that company. That ball just went, bro, that's how the home run derby ends. Yo, that ball just went off the wall for Bobby Witt Jr. to lose it in his home state of Texas. Teoscar Hernandez is like that. This guy's got a flair for the dramatic. This guy, when the lights are bright, I saw him do it in Yankee Stadium. I saw him continue to do it for the Dodgers. He is like an unsung hero of this Dodgers team. He loves to play when everybody is watching, and your 2024 home run derby champ is Teoscar Hernandez, number 37 from the Los Angeles Dodgers. Incredible how that just ended, even though it was a super mid home run derby. I had bets for Pete Alonso to defeat Teoscar Hernandez in the final, Adolis Garcia to defeat Teoscar Hernandez in the final, and Alec Bohm. And nobody defeats Teoscar. And why didn't I just put one straight bet for Teoscar to win when I had him in three bets going to the final? But back to my story about my brother, which I'm able to talk about without crying and choking up, because it's life and this stuff happens to all of us. It's unavoidable, and you got to find a way to move forward and get over it. But, you know, losing my brother, I wouldn't be on this radio station without that experience, because it was such a shock to the system. And I vividly remember so much of it. And I remember disagreeing with him about working my way up at MTV. I don't work there anymore. I remember disagreeing with him about just stay there and do whatever they say. And honestly, when I lost him, I looked at the world differently. My world got flipped upside down, and I said, I'm going to make it, yo. I'm going to grind, and I'm going to become something greater than a cubicle in a desk job. I'm going to make myself into who I think I am. And my brother's been up above watching and seeing me work and pulling strings up there with God and grandma and grandpa and everybody else. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Going into the 11 o'clock hour, the last hour that I have tonight. It's open mic, whatever you guys want to talk about. Now the derby's done, we can talk about that. We can talk about Pete Alonso's weak showing. He was the worst competitor in the entire thing. I believe he had the least amount of homers. Am I wrong?
Gunnar Henderson had the least.
Come on, bro. By one. Yeah, he had 12. Gunnar Henderson had 11.